John chapter 12, the response of these people in this 12th chapter of John, the Jews, the religious leaders, the response of these people to our Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel was unbelief. Verse 37, John 12. But though he had done so many miracles before them, though he openly performed the most convincing miracles in their presence, feeding 5,000, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, many miracles, though he spake as no man ever spake. That's what the soldiers said when they were sent to arrest him and they came back without him, and their leaders said, well, where is he? They said, never man spake like this man. And he opened the Old Testament scriptures and he fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures and no one could answer him. He left them all in silence, no matter what they said. When he replied, they had nothing to answer him with. And though his life was perfect, holy as no other man, we find no fault with him. Yet they believed not on him. They believed not. The great majority did not believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the Messiah. And John 1 said he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And this clearly reveals the hardness of the human heart, the darkness of the human heart. Our evil nature is so deeply rooted in darkness and sin that the most convincing miracles, the most convincing arguments, the most convincing facts will not bring a person to faith in Christ. Our Lord gave this parable over in the book of Luke about the rich man in hell who cried out to Abraham and said, send Lazarus back to earth to warn my brothers that they come not to this place. And Abraham said, if they do not believe the word of God, they will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Unbelief. And verse 38, Isaiah the prophet wrote this years before. And our Lord said their unbelief is the fulfilling of what Isaiah wrote when he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, our gospel, our testimony? Who believes it? Who believes it? Who believes our testimony? What was his testimony? It was of Christ. He said, he shall grow up as a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, that we should desire him, no beauty. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We despised him, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him by his stripes. Our testimony is of him. And yet to whom, listen, who believes it? Not many. To whom hath the arm? What is the arm of the Lord? The power of the Lord. Christ, the power of God. The wisdom of God. God said, my arm's not short that I cannot save. The arm of God is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yet they do not believe. To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now watch these two verses. This quotation is from Isaiah 6, verse 9 through 12. Therefore, they could not believe. They would not believe. Therefore, they could not believe. Now watch this. Because Isaiah said again, he, God, hath blinded their minds. God hath hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. Now, to deny this scripture is inexcusable, because it's repeated 5 times in the New Testament. Not only here, but 5 other times. Let me show you some of them. Now, listen to this. Verse 39, they could not believe. They would not believe. Though he did so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. And then it came to the place where they could not believe. Having hardened their hearts, God judicially blinded them. They can't deny that. That's 5 times. Let me turn to some of them. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, this same scripture is repeated over and over in the New Testament. Matthew 13, verse 14, listen. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand. Seeing you'll see, but not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with the heart, and be converted. I should heal them. Mark, let's find these places where this scripture, it can't be changed, it can't be altered, it can't be denied. It's inexcusable to try it because it's repeated again and again. Mark 4, verse 12. Verse 11. And the Lord, and he said unto them, to the apostles, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them. Luke 8, verse 10. Luke 8, verse 10. And he said to the apostles, verse 10, Luke 8, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Acts 28, let's go over that. Acts chapter 28, this prophecy of Isaiah. Acts 28, verse 26. Acts 28, verse 26. Saying, go unto this people, telling the prophet, and read verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing you shall hear and not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. And now Romans 11, one other. That's 6 times Romans 11, verse 8, that this prophecy of Isaiah concerning the hardness and blindness of the human heart on the part of God. Romans 11, verse 8. Verse 7 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Isaiah 29:10, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears they should not hear unto this day. And David said, Let their table be made a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, a recompense unto them, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always." Now then, though he had done so many wonderful works, they didn't believe. Though he spake, no man ever spake, they didn't believe. Though he walked among them in a perfect manner, went about doing good, witness of God the Father, witness of the Word, witness of John the Baptist, witness of the Holy Spirit, witness of the works, they would not believe. So then came upon them what has come upon men for generations, judicial blindness, the hardness of the heart. Now let me give you some examples. Turn, if you will, to Romans 9. Israel, Romans chapter 9. Now listen to this. Israel had so many favorable blessings. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises? Whose are the fathers? Of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. That's the Jew. Where is he now? Where was he even in the days of the apostles? Turn to Romans 11 and you'll read it. Romans 11, verse 3. "Lord, they've killed your prophets, dig down your altars. I'm left alone. They seek my life." Verse 7. "What then? Israel hath not obtained what he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it." Verse 9. David said, "Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back." When men and women refuse God's light, he turns it into darkness. That's right. Pharaoh's an example of that. Moses came to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And he gave Pharaoh demonstration after demonstration of his power. And the scripture said Pharaoh hardened his heart, hardened his heart, hardened his heart. And then it said God hardened his heart. And his heart became so hard that even after God had come through the land of Israel, land of Egypt, and killed the firstborn in every home, even his firstborn, and he sent Israel away, he still went after them. God hardened his heart. In Romans 1, turn over there. I preached on this not so awful long ago. Romans chapter 1. What I'm saying is when God sends men truth, he did many mighty works, and they would not believe. Now they can't believe because they're judicially hardened and blinded. Look at Romans 1, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them." God showed it to them. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so men are without excuse, because that when they knew God, when they had some understanding that there is a God, It had the truth of God, the Word of God, the light of God, the preachers, the apostles, the servants of God. They wouldn't glorify Him as God. They wouldn't let God be God. They wouldn't submit. They weren't thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Made like the corruptible man, pictures and statues and images to beasts, birds, creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They had the truth of God and changed it into a lie. They heard the truth of God and turned it into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unnatural and shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, the consequence, the penalty for such action. And even as they did not want to acknowledge God, retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What am I saying? I'm saying that this nation has had the truth more than any other nation on the face of the earth. Communities like this in which we live, down through the years, from the 1600s up through this day, has had truth and light, the Word of God, and they would not believe. Now they can't believe. That's right. God has hardened the heart like He did Pharaoh. If God will fill the cup up, and their foot will slide in due time. And this is a hardness. And I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now listen to what Isaiah predicted this. He prophesied this. 2 Thessalonians 2. It's true in every generation. If you won't walk in the light, God will turn your light into darkness. And how great is that darkness? If you won't walk in the truth, God will give you a lie to believe. You preach, yeah, listen. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They wouldn't receive the love of the truth. The truth, who is the truth? Christ said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Truth, you know the truth. Truth will make you free, but they wouldn't receive the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions. Religion, yes. Preachers, yes. Doctrine, yes. Delusions. And they'll believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that is where we are. And that's what happened over here in John 12. Our Lord said, I'll be lifted up. They said, we heard that Christ lives forever. Who's this Son of Man that's going to be lifted up? Though He had done so many wonderful works, they didn't believe Him. That the saying of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, He's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see nor understand and be converted. Look at John 12:41. And these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Turn to Isaiah 6. When did Isaiah see his glory? When his eye died, he really saw the glory of Christ. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 6, 1, I saw Jehovah sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. His glory filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. And they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the kingdom, the Lord of the people. The whole earth is full of his glory, the glory of his cross. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. And I said, Oh, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people with unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King of Kings, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he took with tongs from the altar. That's the gospel. A live coal took from the cross and laid it on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips. His problem wasn't his mouth, it was his heart, but that's where it was coming out of. And thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. He purged our sins by himself, purged our sins. And I heard the voice of him saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go? Who will take this message, this gospel? He said, Here I am. I'll take it. And he did. And when he saw the glory of Christ, he spake of him. Isaiah 53, don't turn there, but I read it to you. Him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Sacrifice, the chastisement of our peace laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. Isaiah spake of him. Verse 42. Now, here's a situation here that's interesting. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, whom have we here? Among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Several believed on him. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the chief rulers. He came to Jesus by night. Said to him, Rabbi, Nicodemus was one of the chief of the Sanhedrin. Chief rulers. He came to him by night and said, Master, I know you're from God. Some of us know you're from God. You couldn't do what you do. God wasn't with you. He believed something. He didn't believe effectually, or he would have confessed Christ. He would have followed him. He didn't believe like Paul did. Paul was a Sanhedrin. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was in the same office Nicodemus had. But Nicodemus believed. Joseph of Arimathea. I'll tell you about him tonight. But he came and requested the body of Christ. Asked Pilate, he said, Could I have his body? And he anointed it, and Nicodemus came and helped him. And would you believe it? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took Christ down from the cross and cleaned his body and wrapped it themselves and took him and laid him in Joseph's tomb. Gamaliel. Paul said, I went to the top school in my day, the top seminary, and my teacher was Gamaliel. Turn to Acts 5. I'll read you about this gentleman. He was the top teacher of theology and a member of the Sanhedrin, and the Jewish bunch that hated Christ. Acts 5:34. Gamaliel speaks. Read verse 33. When they heard, this is Peter talking to those fellows, and when they heard that, well, let's go back to verse 30. Peter said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel, forgiveness of sins, and we're his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard this, these religious leaders, they were cut to the hides, and took counsel to slay them. And then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, Saul of Tarsus' teacher, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little. He said, "Leave them alone." And he said to these men, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves now. What you intend to do is touching these men." And he defended them. Verse 38, "And now I say to you, refrain from these men. Let them alone." Listen, if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. If it be of God, you can't overthrow it, lest haply you be bound to fight against God. And to him they agreed, to Gamaliel, and when they called the apostles and beat them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. This man was with those men, and yet he believed something. So turn back here now to my text, John 12, verse 42. Now listen to this. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers," now I've named three, "also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." I don't know what they believed, but John said they didn't confess Christ. They didn't come out and say, "I believe this gospel. In my heart, I believe this gospel. This man's the Son of God. This man's our only hope, our only Savior." Two reasons why they didn't do it. Two reasons. Number one, they didn't confess him lest they be put out of the synagogue, lest they be put out of present-day religion. That's why. They didn't want to be put out of formal religion. Now, there's religion and there's Christ. There's formality and there's faith. There's what we do in religion to make ourselves accepted for God, and there's what he did. And we have to take one or the other. We can't have both. And Paul, he said, there was a time when religion, my ancestry, heritage, the law was important to me. But when I met Christ, I counted these things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. But these men were afraid that they'd lose their office by confessing Christ. They'd lose their places of honor. They'd fall under contempt and wrath of men. They'd lose their friends. They'd be put out of present-day religion. So they didn't confess him. Here's the second reason. Verse 43, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. These men loved the honor and respect and praise which their office and their religious works brought them. They loved the applause and esteem of men. How foolish. Like I say, I don't know what they believed. I don't know how much they believed. I don't know to what extent they believed. I just know that the Scripture says here, these men saw something to this gospel, this message of Christ to this Son of God. They saw something. But they were members of the accepted religion. They went to church where everybody goes. That's anybody. They had an office. They had a degree. They had praise, and they wrote articles, and it appeared in publications, and they were important. And they knew if they confessed Christ, that'd all be done. They'd be identified with these hated Galileans, these folks that God said are the nothings, the despised, and the naught. Just can't do it. But how foolish to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What will people think of me? They're not asking what does God think of me. What does people think of me? How foolish. But it's a place to which everybody comes who hears this message. Like these previous verses, they would not believe. Would not believe. So came the time when they couldn't. Their hearts were so hard and their eyes so blinded by divine judicial judgment, they couldn't believe. And then some of these men, what he preached, they said, that's reasonable. That's scriptural. But if we believe that, if we confess him, it's going to cost. It's going to cost me. And our Lord said, sit down and count the cost. And then verse 44, I want to give you this and I'll close. Jesus cried. He cried. And said, he cried out that all men might hear him. He cried out. He that believeth on me believeth not only on me, he believes on him that sent me. You see that? The Father. He that believeth on me, he does not only believe on me, he believes on him that sent me. He believes the covenant of God, the grace of God the Father, the will and purpose of God the Father, the glory and character of God the Father. He doesn't just believe on me, he believes on him that sent me. And he that believes not on me, believes not on him. That's what he's saying to these folks. That upon the occasion of their prevailing unbelief and the hardness of heart, he said, wait a minute. It's not just me that you're rejecting, it's him who sent me. When I believe on Christ, when I say to this religious world, I believe on Christ, I'm saying I believe on him who sent Christ, who made the covenant, made Christ the surety, made Christ the representative, him who appointed him and anointed him and sent him to be the Savior. He said, that's the seriousness of not believing on me, not confessing me, is you're not believing on him or confessing him that sent me. He that hath the Son hath the Father. He that hath not the Son hath not the Father. Look at the next verse. He that sees me sees him that sent me. It's like we won't have this man reign over us. What they're saying is we won't have this God. Christ said, he that rejecteth me rejecteth him that sent me. He that heareth not my words heareth not his words. That's what's serious about this thing. You see, verse 46 says here, or verse 45, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Philip said, show us the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. Christ came to reveal God's love, his righteousness, his justice, his mercy. Verse 46 now, I'm come a light to the world. All of us by nature and birth are in darkness, and Christ came to give us light, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I came to reveal the Father. To hear me is to hear him. To believe me is to believe him. That's what he cried to. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just a prophet. He's that prophet. He's not a way. He's the way. He's not a son of God. He's the son of God. He's the only begotten, well-beloved son of God. The kingdom is not a kingdom. It's his kingdom. Now, verse 47. But if any man hear my words and believe not, I'm not going to judge him now. They'll go through life prosperous and healthy, unjudged. I didn't come this time to judge this world. I'm going to walk through this world, and men are going to hear me. I'm going to preach the gospel to them, and those that do not believe, when I'm not going to stop to damn them. Or people say, well, it looks like that preacher preaching false doctrine, God would just open heaven and pour out fire on him. He will, but not now. He didn't come now for that purpose. He came to save. We're preaching the gospel of grace, calling out a people, a sheep. And I didn't come to damn men right now. I came to save them. But verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he has one that will judge him. The word that I've spoken, they'll judge him when? In that day. When the last day dawns, these words which men have heard and which have not believed, they'll come forth in judgment. I know there's a lot of foolish preaching nowadays, a lot of religious nonsense. In fact, most of it is nonsense. This is the word of God. This is the word of our Lord. Who he is and what he's done and where he is now. And here's where men will be judged. Those who hear it now and believe it will be blessed. Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth not sin. But those who do not believe and do not receive the word, the day will come. They may go through this journey untouched, unbroken, unchastised. But that day, the word will come forth. Now, I'll close with this. I've not spoken of myself, verse 49. Even Christ said that. The Father sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should speak, what I should say, what I should speak. And his commandment is life everlasting. This is where the life is. The life, my friends, the life is not in religion, it's in Christ. The life, everlasting life, is not in duties and ceremonies and all of these things that are being done today in the name of religion. Everlasting life's in Christ the Word. The living Word, the incarnate Word, the written Word. The Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I believe Christ. If men let us walk with them, believe in Christ, we'll walk with them. If men won't let us walk with them, believe in Christ, we won't walk with them.
But I'm not going to court the applause of men, praises of men. I don't want to stay where Christ is not welcome, do you? I don't want to be on Sunday morning where Christ and His Word is not cherished and loved and revered and respected and believed. I don't want to be there. David said, your enemies are my enemies. If they're enemy of Christ, they're my enemies. They're friend of Christ, they're my friend. But these men would not confess Him lest they be put out of religion. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God.